And welcome back to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher along with Mark Harrington. Well, Sean Means is the Tribune, the film critic for the Salt Lake Tribune. He started off Sundance 2014 moderating the opening press conference of this year's festival and hasn't stopped since. He joins us now in the studio. Good morning, and you're still standing.
I'm still here.
Yeah. So are you worn out or you're just about done?
I'm almost ready for this to be over, yeah.
So in terms of a film count, what have you got?
I'm at 29.
Oh.
Four more to go. Yeah.
Just four?
Yep.
So you don't wait for the winners or anything because you've probably already seen
them. No, the goal every year is to see all 32 of the U.S. competition films. And with the last four documentaries I'm seeing today and one, or three today and one tomorrow, I will hit that. And then I do film church on Sunday and then I go home.
Yeah. So what is it that you, I mean, you want just to watch? Because many of these films will never make it to, you know, a big theater, even into Salt Lake. So you're not necessarily doing reviews about them.
Well, I do write reviews on our website, sltrip.com, for everything I see.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the fact that some of these movies will not be seen again after Sundance, I mean, that's true. But the fact that we're reviewing them plays into that. And if, you know, a movie that might have limited commercial potential, if it gets good critical buzz, get good reviews, it might have a shot. And on the other side, there are ones that, you know, if you give them bad reviews, you will, you know, condemn them to the oblivion that they deserve. So...
So tell me where we find those
reviews.
This
is on sltrib.com.
Okay.
And we have the Sundance. Just look for the Sundance Film Festival blog.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the dramatic highlights for you.
Okay. Good year for comedies this year, especially among the U.S. dramatic competition. My favorite of the whole bunch is the Skeleton Twins. Really funny and also really tender, brother sister story with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig, who, you know, two actors who have had great chemistry, you know, all those years of Saturday Night Live, and that they were able to translate that into a dramatic setting, I think was really powerful, really moving. But also it showed that Bill Hader, I think, is somebody to watch who's going to, I think, could have a bigger career than just comedies and so on. So that one, I also liked Dear White People. Very funny. Some of the best one-liners in the entire festival. A college campus story about race relations on a college campus. Some very funny and very pointed media criticism about black culture. I don't think Tyler Perry is going to like this movie very much because he gets rather slammed a couple times. I also liked, I'm trying to remember here.
I was going to say he was doing this with no notes and now he just had to look down.
Well, the other one I was forgetting was Happy Christmas, which is Joe Swanberg, who, you know, the very prolific indie filmmaker, very, you know, improvisational style. This one really is you know, about a family who couple with a new baby. Inviting the husband's sister in for the holidays, and the sister's played by Anna Kendrick, and it's about her, and she's kind of a screw up, and it's about the sort of relation between the sister and the wife, played by Melanie Lynskey, as two women who are both sort of trying to figure out their identities, one after a breakup and the other as a stay-at-home mom. Very funny and very sweet. There's some good dramas too. I mean, Whiplash, the opening night film, which I saw it a whole 8 days ago. It just seems like forever. Very very beautifully shot and very good two character piece about a ambitious young drummer and the instructor who, you know, basically terrorizes him. Those are really the best ones I've seen.
And you've written about those in a different context as well, in terms of with Bill Hader and Happy Christmas as well, in terms of opportunities for the stars to break out of their traditional roles.
Right.
And talk about that a little bit in terms of how you see, you know, is that is that still an allure for today's actor, actresses in terms of, hey, I make these other films to enable me to do the quiet film,
right?
Like The Song with Anne Hathaway or whatever, or is it truly an ambition to grow as an actor and partake in something that is back to their roots, if you will?
Right. I think actors like, you know, they like to work and they like to do things that are interesting and challenging. You get somebody like Mark Ruffalo, you know, he signed a good contract to play the Incredible Hulk in the Avengers movies. So he's good to go as far as his, you know, financial situation. But he'll want to find things that challenge him in a different level. And, you know, he's been here before. He directed a movie that was here a couple years ago. He's here this year with Infinitely Polar Bear. And, you know, it's a chance to, you know, stretch the muscles that you don't get to do when you're, you know, sitting in a harness doing, you know, CG, green screen moves. He joked about that. He said that this bipolar character he plays in Infinitely Polar Bear is, you know, the low budget indie version of the Hulk, which is, you know, would you think about it? It's kind of true. He's sort of the manic depressive aspect of his character. Hathaway, she's set. She can do what she wants. Song One is her first, you know, major role since she won the Oscar. And it's a nice little story. And it's the sort of movie that it's not going to work as well as a big budget film. It needs to be a small budget film because it needs to be quiet and intimate. You've got characters that are worth playing, and they're going to try for it. You know, so.
Well, you've also seen all the documentaries as well.
So. Most of them. Still got a few to go.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the highlights there.
The best movie I've seen at the festival is E-Team. Excellent documentary. The sort of combination of political immediacy and personal stories. Following the members of the Human Rights Watch, their emergency team. And these are the folks that go into war zones while the war is still going on so they can document and bear witness to human rights violations. And it shows them going into Syria during the Civil War, Libya during the Civil War, shows them going into Syria just last year, just very recently. And getting the word out about, you know, atrocities that are happening in countries around the world. It's just really powerful stuff, and it really makes the political very personal.
Hmm. So best of the fest.
Best thing I've seen all around, yeah.
Now, does it have a chance to go? I mean, obviously they've got a good string going with Oscar nominees with Searching for Sugarman and this year's 20 Feet from Stardom. Is E-Team going to be 2014's, you know?
You know, it depends on how it plays. It depends on how, where it gets out, how it gets shortlisted. There are, you know, you look at the five Oscar nominations that this year, I mean, four of them were here last year. But you had 20 Feet from Stardom and Dirty Wars and so on. But you didn't have a nomination for Blackfish, which a lot of people thought was, you know, a strong contender for that. So, which also played here last year. The Oscars will do what they're going to do. It's kind of hard to predict this early on which documentaries are going to make it through the sifting process.
Well, like Blackfish, CNN already picked up Dinosaur 13 this year. Mm-hmm. What have you seen in terms of that you think will have that broader mass appeal this year?
Watchers of the Sky, I'm trying to remember which ones I saw already CNN already came in with Private Violence, the documentary about domestic abuse.
And I think the Battered Bastards of Baseball too.
I can't remember if that's CNN or HBO. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that one yet. HBO has a couple of them here. They have Captivated, excellent film about the Pamela Smart murder trial and the sensationalism and how the media, what the media's role was in the sensationalizing of that story. And HBO also has The Case Against Eight, the great and for Utah, very timely documentary about the fight against Prop 8 in California, the gay marriage ban.
So you watch a movie and then you come right out and start typing your review, or did you kind of process it and then finish it later in the evening or next day? Or
you sort of have to do them quick, because otherwise they'll log jam. They'll pile up. It would be nice to be able to think more about them, but the conditions don't necessarily permit that. One trick I'll do is I'll use my time on the bus getting to the next place as my time to think, and then when I land and I'm sitting in line for 20 minutes, I can whip out the laptop and then I'll get it written there. So,
all right. Well, people can see all of the ones you've written so far, sltrib.com. Mm-hmm. Good luck today.
Thank you.
With the last four, and thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Happy to be here.
Sean Means again is the film critic for the Salt Lake Tribune. KPCW News Time now, 9:24.
Jeff Ross, a.k.a. the Roastmaster General, is known for his body and scathing remarks on 10 Comedy Central roasts of B-list celebrities. And now he's coming to roast you, Park City. He'll take the stage Thursday through Saturday nights, February 6th through 8th at the Egyptian Theater. And so can you. Volunteers with a strong sense of humor will be welcomed. Tickets start at just $39 and are available at parkcityshows.com or at the box office. This show is strongly suggested for mature audiences. The Egyptian Theater is a hilariously nonprofit organization.
Park City Realty Group is a proud sponsor of KPCW's Mountain Money. This is Mike Mazzoni, principal broker and owner of Park City Realty Group. 100% locally owned and operated, Park City Realty Group provides boutique real estate services to buyers and sellers in the area. 649-1991 or parkcityrealtygroup.com.